Hello and welcome to this episode of the AF Mentors podcast. I've got Maureen with me.
Hello.
Hello, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks. Happy to be here. How are you?
I'm much better than you are.
Yeah, that wouldn't be hard. I'm not too bad, though, to be fair. Like last night, I thought I was gonna die.
Oh, God.
I was in bed and I was just like, oh my God, my throat is so painful. It was so sore. Yeah. But it's okay.
Okay, well,
Just a bit sick.
just a bit sick. That's absolutely fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm fine. It's just a bit rainy here.
Oh no. And I thought you were having nice weather.
No, I mean, it looked nice on the weekend, but it was very cold.
Well, that's no fun.
No. Anyway, what we're here to talk about is the screenshot that you sent me yesterday.
Yeah. I've lost your face. Sorry. The screenshot, yeah, people struggling to know who they're talking to and how to put it across on social media. It seems to be a massive, massive problem for coaches.
Yeah, and I think either you're blissfully unaware or you know it's a problem, right? The point that I want to make about this that I see a lot of coaches fall into that I think is a big problem is basically getting massively overwhelmed by that and then not doing anything. So they're like, I don't know exactly who I'm targeting. I don't know the exact problems. I don't know the exact wording. So do you know what I'm going to do? Nothing. That I see that as much as a bigger problem. And the reason I say that, and when you sent me it last night, I found it interesting because I was like, yeah, that is everyone's problem, but it's so easy to become overwhelmed with it and obsessed with it, and then like just be like, I don't even know what I'm saying anymore. Like you can go into such a rabbit hole with it. And I was just thinking about it, I was like, I don't think I know exactly. Right. And it's like, I'm always working on it. I'm always listening. I'm always changing things. I'm always testing things out. And I think that people have this like underlying belief that at some point they'll just get it and they'll be done. It's like, no. It's like going to the gym. You're never done. You're just always doing it, right? You're always testing your marketing. You're always trying like a different stance on things. One thing we did last week was put that post up in Commit to Six about like why people joined, but not just asking them why they joined, but also being like, was it a specific vibe or a specific topic, or was it a certain podcast, or was it, like what was it? That was so valuable. And it kind of reminded me what I should be doing on social media and what I shouldn't be doing. And it's definitely helped me realign. And I was saying to you yesterday, I just spent like 2 hours just writing, like just figuring out, okay, well, like if this is, I went through everything that people had said, I pulled out like the common themes and I was like, bam, like I've written them all down in a list. I'm like, these are the topics I need to cover. This is the vibe I need to give off. This is who I want to attract and just become much more aligned with it. But I think it's totally normal for people to go through phases of being like, oh shit, I need to kind of like realign with remembering like the message I want to deliver.
You know, I totally agree. Like, I do think people think it's just like a blanket statement, this specific person, or like they're thinking of a specific demographic of people, whether they're whatever their gender is, their age, everything. But I noticed that a lot of coaches, and you, like you've pulled me on this before as well. It's like making content for other coaches or being afraid of what other coaches are going to say about your content. But I think a lot of coaches have this all this knowledge from learning, you know, becoming a PT or doing a nutrition course or, you know, learning all this information on topics that they have a keen interest in, and they want to share all that information. But then they end up actually just kind of going over the people's head that they're trying to attract. And then their content is just relevant to other coaches rather than actually taking themselves out of the coach's shoes. And putting yourself into the person's shoes and thinking, okay, well, what are these people struggling with on a very basic day-to-day level? Like, we have to nearly think about it on the terms of if you were trying to explain to a child these simple concepts rather than trying to be all technical and look educated or look like you have all this knowledge. It's like just break it down in really simple terms. What are they actually struggling with? You know, if you have an idea of what they're trying to achieve, it's like, okay, well, why haven't they achieved this already? It's like there's obviously things in their way, roadblocks, barriers. That's where you come in as a coach to help them navigate these things, to overcome these barriers, to get them to where they want to get to. But you have to first understand, okay, where are they now? And what roadblocks are they meeting that's stopping them getting from A to Z?
Don't you think it's so funny as well? Because a lot of coaches are actually very good at this, but they're not good at it at social media, on social media even, right? So they might, I don't know, if they work online, they might have a client call with one of their clients, and what they said on that call is perfect. They know how to coach. But and really it's like, so in your head, you do know what your ideal client, the one that is already your client, needs to hear. And they might be like, oh no, like it's absolutely fine. You can have some carbs, like remember this, or remember imperfect action, or don't beat yourself up about going over your calories or whatever. And then they go on social media and they're like, so thermodynamics is the regulation of blah, blah. And it's like, you do have the knowledge and the ability to share it. You're just sharing the wrong stuff because you're right. Like, you know, they're maybe sharing it for other coaches. There is some like a bit of a balance, and I think like such a skill is being able to simplify things without dumbing them down, right? So being able to talk about, I don't know, thermodynamics, but then being like, what that actually means is blah, right? Or what that means in a practical sense is this. Or, you know, if people, because so much is put out on social media now that your clients probably will see insulin resistance. And if you can't explain that, but then explain it in a way that they want to hear it. You know, if they're like, right, insulin resistance, does that mean I can't eat carbs? Can you explain that simply? As opposed to trying to show off to other coaches, be like, right, well, what this actually means. Like, it's your job to take the information that you know and apply it to the individual at a level that they want to know, right? Not being like, oh, you know, because especially a lot of our clients on Commit Six are very intelligent, right? I'm sure a lot of other, I mean, I only speak from my own experience, right? But I'm sure a lot of other people's clients are as well. So it's not like dumbing it down to make people feel stupid. It's just like, this is your area of expertise. This actually comes up quite a lot with our coaches, and it came up in the group last night of like, what should I put in my welcome pack? You know, like, or how much information should I give? And I'm like, people are paying you to know all of this stuff and the complexities of it all and be very highly educated in nutrition or exercise or whatever it is, and then extrapolate what they need to know based on their goals, their situation, and apply it to them. They don't need to know all, you know, how many carbon atoms are in a certain, don't know, carbohydrate source or something. They don't need to know that. They just need to know, okay, what do I need to do to reach this goal? And hey, they might want to know more. That's great. That's why you've got things like a podcast or further resources. But one way to never get results from clients is to just bombard them with a huge amount of information. And then they're kind of paralyzed into not taking any action because they're like, okay, when I've got 3 hours, I will read through that welcome pack. And then they never have 3 hours because you've advertised that you work with busy mums. And shockingly, she's a busy mum and she doesn't have time to go through all this stuff, right? A lot of people just like, I have a busy life. Do I want to get results? Yes. Do I want to take hours and hours a day having to read through all this information? No, I'm not a PT. I'm not doing a nutrition course. I want to know what works for me in an applied setting. That's your job as a coach.
Yeah, like it's interesting they're on about the welcome packs. Like I don't sell the welcome pack.
What?
Yeah. Purposely, because I was sending it before, nobody was reading it. So now I just send like a detailed the starting email is quite detailed of literally just the things that that person needs to know to get started, and then we take it from there as things go on, because nobody I was like before, like I spent a load of time on a welcome pack and was asking clients, you know, they'd be asking the same questions and I'd be like, did you have a look at the welcome pack? Never even looked at it.
See, I do it slightly differently where I do have a quote unquote welcome pack, but it's probably what's in that email but it looks nicer in a PDF, which shows higher value, right? If they're like, oh, I paid you this much for coaching, it's like, here's an email with some bullet points of where to start.
Well,
No,
it's interesting. I've got better feedback from just doing it in the email. That's just from my clients personally. They're like, oh my God, thanks for having this all just
but
like
don't you
in
think
there.
if it was nice in a PDF, but the same information? That's what
Potentially.
I do. And like, no one can not read it because there's literally nothing in there. You know, it's like attached is your starting plan. So they can't not read it because they wouldn't know. And, you know, like, it's not like, oh, here's a welcome pack to get on with while you do this. Like, no. It's like everything is in that. So if you don't open it, you've got nothing.
But that's what was happening. Everything was in the welcome pack that my clients needed to know. And then they were coming back to me saying, what's this? What's this? What's this? I don't know what I'm doing. It's like, because you haven't looked at the welcome pack. It was just the barrier of having to click into something else.
Or do you think you just have better clients now?
Potentially. Well, that's questionable. Like, to be fair, honest, yeah. There's a bit of a yes and no answer there.
Yeah, some.
Yeah.
Also, I gave you a little preview into 30 for 30, didn't I?
You did, yeah. It looks very exciting. There was a few things I was like, I need to do that. I need to do that.
Yeah.
I need to do that.
I mean, we say this all the time, right? On
Yeah.
masterminds and stuff. I think sometimes people are like, oh, well, probably a little bit above. Well, actually, no, we don't really get that. But you could see that some people be like, oh, I'm a bit above the mastermind. There's some people on here that are just starting. And I'm like, you're not doing the basics. Because trust me, every single mastermind, I come away with something basic that I'm not doing. And I'm significantly further ahead than a lot of the coaches on there. Well, I mean, yeah. And I'm still not doing some of it. It's just sometimes it's just such a good reminder. I think it was Hayley Kirby that was saying in the group the other day, she was like, I can't wait for 30 for 30 because I just want to nail the basics again. And sometimes we're just overcomplicating stuff. In fact, I worked one-to-one with a coach. She never really came to the group stuff. But she runs a very successful group coaching program, 100 plus women on it. And she had been working with another mentorship that really push ads, right? You're pushing ads to like this email funnel that then hopefully you're going to get signups off the back of. And we, but like, I basically was like, try this really organic thing, essentially what you're going to learn on 30 for 30 if you're doing it, right? Like of giving more value, but in a very direct way, not sending them off to an email list, which, by the way, like I'm not completely anti-email list, but the open rate is so low, especially with automations, right? So the other thing that I would, if you are doing something that is like email automated, make sure that you put your absolute best work in that first email. And the reason for that is you don't even, I mean, the stats on this are like scarily bad, right? But you don't even need to know that. To know that people aren't going to open it because you just think about how many things you sign up for. You sign up for it. If you even open that first email, you don't open the second one. And then you just get pissed off that someone's messaging you all the time. And this is where actually having an email list can be a negative to your business, right? Because if you're someone who, I don't know, they've signed up for your free fat loss guide. Now, like I said, if you're lucky, someone will actually open that. The amount of stuff I sign up for that by the time I get to my emails in the morning, I'm like, delete. I want a clean email. Like, I want a clean inbox. I'm just going to delete it. Right. So that might happen. But if they do open it, you can guarantee that they're almost definitely not going to open like the second one, the third one, especially if you're trying to drip feed a lot of stuff. Like, unless that first email is really good. And then what you find is you end up becoming in their head an annoyance. If you over email people, they don't just unsubscribe. And I know that because, you know, the person listening to this, you don't either. You just let it come into your inbox every day and you're like, fucking hell, piss off. And then you delete it, right? And it's just like now your name coming up in their inbox is a slight trigger of that's annoying. And then you're actually associated in their head with being annoying, not being helpful in the coach and all, you know, I'm sure the emails are freaking great, but that's just something to have a little think about as well. And there are ways around that. You can do it. You can send less emails. You can do it in a smarter way. You can stop sending emails to people that haven't opened the first one or two. Yeah. But anyway, That's my email rant. You're
I
welcome.
think it depends on the frequency, though, and how invested you are in the person that you're
That's what I
open.
just said.
Oh, did you? I totally
Oh,
tuned
I
out
just
for
meant
that.
you send less emails, isn't that frequency?
Oh, yeah, sorry. I was like, she must have tuned out with something that she said there.
Must have tuned out, boring as fuck.
Yeah, she's taking too long to get to
What's
the
the point?
point. I have two,
I
so
read
much.
something the other day and I was like, it's so funny. I can't remember who said it or I would credit them, but it was like, here's how to make your free email list work or something. It's like travel back to 2002 when that used to work. Oh no, actually, I don't think it was that. It was here's how to make I'm looking for five motivated men to get in shape work. And it's like travel back 10 years to when that fucking stupid shit worked. Do it back then. I'm like, fair.
Yeah, but I was going to say something there now, and I can't think. I was going to say something about the emails. I have like I don't know how many email addresses, but literally like that, my whole one inbox is literally just full of the same names coming up, and they're not opened at all. But there is some people like that I'm would be interested in, or they do have good things to say that I do regularly open.
James Clear.
James Clear, yeah, I like Camellia's ones as well, and some Emma Story Gordon. I don't know, sometimes she might send something of use. Not very often.
No, not very well. That's the point. Mine isn't that often, and their articles, like Substack open rates. And with a lot of one-to-ones on AFM who do email lists, when I'm like, right, are you doing more like informative stuff that could put on Substack? And like, yeah, and their open rate goes up massively. It's different. It's mainly
I
because
think.
you wouldn't just do sales on Substack, right? You wouldn't be like, I wouldn't just be like, guys, Commit to Six is open on Substack. Maybe I
But you
should.
know what I think sometimes with Substack is like, or when you're sending an email, it's like nobody else sees it, only the people that it's going to their inbox. But when it's an article, it's like, oh, anybody can see this.
Yeah, that's the point. You want them to
I
read
know, but.
the bottom and then be like, oh my God, that was incredible. What else has she written? Oh, look, 200 other Substacks.
Yeah, well, writing is a skill, but I suppose you need to actually do it to be good at it.
Shocking that, isn't it?
Gosh, who knew?
I'm thinking about just waiting until I'm good at writing to start writing. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll be waiting.
We wait until that magically happens. Yeah.
So, in terms of 30 for 30, which is so excellent,
Why, thank you.
who would benefit the most from doing it, in your opinion?
Honestly, not to just like that everyone should do it. Every single person in the world needs to do it. Don't have a business, don't care. No, it solves one problem, right? So if you have this problem, and this is the point, like, it's not necessarily for new coaches, it's not necessarily for experienced coaches. Like, it will work for all coaches whose key problem at the moment is lead generation. That's the problem it solves. We don't look at your business model, we don't look at even like retention. We're not looking at other aspects of your business. We don't look at how you deliver coaching. That's mentoring, right? We literally just look at how to generate leads. That's the problem it solves. And I want to be really clear on that, mainly because I want to set realistic expectations. I think I spoke about this on another podcast, but I think that's so important. Like, it's my reputation, right? If people think they're signing up to this and getting mentoring, you're not. It will help you get leads. And the beauty of it is, once you learn this, you can use it for the rest of your career. Like, it's evergreen, useful, actionable. I've also tried to keep it like kind of done what I just spoke about in regards to the welcome pack. Like, it's not bombarding you with all the information you need to know, or, well, actually, it's all the information you need to know, but it's not bombarding you with all the information that I've ever known about lead generation. It's like, this is what I've tested, this is what works. This is what you need to apply. And if you do it for 30 days, I'm going to hold you accountable to doing that. And you come to the calls, that's really important as well. Maureen was saying this to me yesterday because we red teamed this a little bit. I was like, tell me, like, honest feedback. Like, I want to make sure this is good. And she was like, they need to come to the calls. Because some of it's like, yeah, how you apply that in different situations, that's the whole point in the calls, right? You might be like, oh, but what about this? Okay, cool. Well, I can't go over every single circumstance in like a lesson because that would be boring as fuck for everybody else. But when you come to the calls, that's what the whole point in them. So yeah. Friday afternoons, 3 p.m.
And I think something else that came up in DMs when I was chatting yesterday to people was about, the initial investment of like paying for the course. But the thing about it is like you might have this initial investment, but if you actually apply the information that's in it, you would be making back the money
Oh,
that you have
right. This is
invested.
my other thing, right?
Yeah.
One of the reasons I wanted to do this is because I want people to make enough money to join AFM. And a lot of people, I'd say there's like 5 or 6 people directly that I've had conversations with that are signing up that are like, I want to join AFM, but I'm going to do this to make the money to join. I'm like, yeah, challenge accepted. Let's do it. And then the other thing I would say is like, there's probably not a better investment than knowledge. Because what if you know this earlier on, you can use it for longer, right? Like imagine, like if I knew what I know now 10 years ago, I'd be a hell of a lot further on than I am now, right? But you can't know until you know, but you can invest in that knowledge so you know it sooner. That's kind of how I would see this, rather than like, oh, it's this much for 30 days. It's like, no. What you're going to learn in 30 days, you're going to use for the rest of your career.
Yeah. And I know like there's a lot of people who maybe just starting out and it's like afraid of maybe I'm not far along enough yet to apply this information. But it's like if you get this information now while you're starting, like you will be putting yourself ahead. Because I had that conversation as well with somebody who was like, oh, maybe it's not for me because I'm just starting. It's like you will actually be doing yourself a favor by just doing this now.
Oh yeah, you can apply this at any point. And it's the same, like it's the same stuff that I use, but it's the same stuff I use for brand new coaches as well. Like it works. You don't, yeah.
If you apply it, because I know some people sign up to courses and it's like, oh, boom, magic. Just show me where is all the people coming into my DMs. But it's like, you have to be willing to apply it, learn, make mistakes, tweak things, and not expect just magic results overnight.
Yeah, which is exactly why I didn't just run it as an evergreen course and just be like, just pay and do it. It's like, it has to be an intake because otherwise the momentum's not there and people are like, oh, I'll do it next week. I'll do it now. Oh, and then it's the holidays and then it's this and then it's that. Like, no. Action.
Imperfect action.
Always imperfect action. I don't think I've ever done anything perfectly in my whole life.
Well, I can agree.
I was like, Maureen, look, I made a reel today. She's like, is the CapCut advert going to be in all the reels? I was like, maybe yes. Did I watch the reel before I put it up? No, we
Do
would never
better.
do that. Like, come on. Yeah, very much imperfect action.
Yeah, but what's that saying? Imperfect action is better than perfect inaction.
Yes.
Did you make that one up as well?
Well, no, I don't really like that. Perfect inaction.
What's that?
What's that? But yeah, I think I prefer the saying, even the wrong action is better than inaction. Like if it's the quote unquote wrong action, I mean, in some ways it can't be, right? Like you can't be wrong about posting on social media. Like just fucking do it. You have to start to get good. You can't just wait to get good before you start these things. But action's better than inaction. And I think that's true even when you're like making a decision. Usually you regret like not doing things rather than doing things. That's not to say that you never regret doing things, but most things can be undone if they need to be. But if you spend your whole life just like not, I don't know, it's just a waste of life to me. Everyone's different, right? Everyone has their own like tendencies. Maybe they would just like to sit at home doing nothing. And like, no judgment from me. It's just not the life I want to live. I'd rather be out there making loads of mistakes.
I thought you were going to say make lots of money.
Well, yeah, that as well. Why not?
I know, but I thought that's what was going to be, what that's what was going to come out of your mouth there, making loads of money. But I find that interesting about social media. It's like people look, I know it is like somewhat formal when you're promoting your business, but social media is like an informal platform. Like we're very lucky that we are able to promote our businesses on it for free. And yet people are so scared to just show up and post on social media. It's like it doesn't matter.
But
It's
the
like you.
irony is, the people that are scared of posting on social media are also the same people that tend to be like no one's even gonna look at it. You know, it's like, oh, I'm scared of what people will think, but also I'm annoyed that it doesn't get any reach. And you're like, can't have both, can you? Like, you're so scared of what people are gonna think, and you also know that no one's gonna see it, then just post it anyway.
Just post the goddamn post. I
You know,
know.
I did see a tweet the other day, and it was like, you're not scared of failure, you're scared of embarrassment. And
Oh.
that's spot on. I think
Yeah.
most people are.
It's scared of being judged. But even like everyone thinks of judgment in like a negative light, but like somebody has to judge you to decide whether they like you or not. So regardless, you have to be judged in one way or another.
Not if you stay at home and don't put your face on social media.
True, but then you start judging yourself.
Yeah, you will.
Becomes like an internal battle with yourself.
I know this is such an extreme, but I always like sometimes I do like thinking about like just how irrelevant we all are, and literally everything we do is, especially when I'm worried about a decision or like something on social media, or so, I don't know, something that you're like over worrying about that really doesn't matter. It's like, if you're, this isn't, by the way, to be like, dismiss how people are feeling, but say you're like, I don't know, scared of posting your first podcast, which I totally get. And then, I don't know, and then you just think, but even your whole life is just a speck. And no one's going to remember you. No one's going to remember, you know, like no one will even know you in 2 generations. And in the grand scheme of things in the universe, it's like literally nothing. I don't know. Just think it's not worth worrying about. Just do it.
That's a bit cold, Emma.
Yeah, but I quite like, I'm like, I get that you can be like, nobody cares, and then feel really sad about that. Or you can be like, nobody cares. Do what you want. Like,
True. Yeah,
yeah.
I do see that. I do see that side of it. I still think it's kind of, I don't think everybody would be on the same level as you to be able to completely detach from everything around and be like, nobody cares.
Yeah, well, you know, I have a very special brain. I did also get distracted in the middle of saying that by thinking about when I first posted my first podcast, and I was like, could I even, do I even remember that? And I don't. And do you know what I think it was? Do you, I don't even think you've been in the industry long enough to remember Shredded by Science.
Oh God, no.
No. So what's it called now? SBS? Do you know Luke Johnson?
Yes.
Oh no, SBS was Shredded by Science. What's he called it now? I can't remember. Anyway, he used to run Shredded by Science, which was this like kind of education platform for PTs. They used to bring over like Eric Helms and stuff. Anyway, I did the podcast for it with this other guy called Lawrence. And that was the first, and I remember I used to just sit in my car on the phone and Lawrence would record it. The audio must have been so bad. But we had really good guests on. We had like Spencer Nadalski, I mean, loads of people. That's just literally the only person I can remember. But it was good. I mean, it was probably awful, but it was a start. But I don't, yeah, I know. I don't know. I can't really remember that. And at that time, it must have been quite weird to have a podcast.
When did pod like podcasts aren't that long an actual thing,
Yeah.
like a big thing?
Yeah, that must have been like, I don't know. mean, I was still working at Nine Wells, so must have been like 8 years ago.
That thing was out.
Yeah, because I was still researching cardiovascular disease. Because sometimes I'd just decide to leave work and sit in my car and record a podcast. It's been,
Wouldn't be like you.
yeah, I know, shocking. Shocking that I really struggled with like actually having a job and turning up for it and not wanting to just leave as soon as someone told me what to
I was about to say,
do.
be told what to do.
Oh, I did have it, to be fair, I did have a very flexible job, mainly because I had to do such like varied stuff. So my boss never knew where I was. And like the lab was like a 20-minute walk. Like the hospital's huge. So the lab was like maybe not 20, 10-minute walk away from like my desk. So I think he'd always just assume I'd be in the lab. But sometimes I just leave.
You're such a rebel.
Yeah, good times. Good times, but also really hated that.
Yeah, but look at you now.
Yeah.
So 30 for 30. When are we starting? How many spaces have we got left?
We're starting the 1st of April. I would quite like to take on 8 more people.
So if anyone's listening to this, you need to get your ass in gear because they will go fast.
Yeah, I actually think 2 of those have already gone.
Excellent. You know,
So
I'm excited for it. And I think everyone, obviously all the people in AFM get free access to it because hashtag VIPs. So I think
AFM
it's going to be
fam.
good. AFM fam, yeah. I think it's
But
going
do
to
you
be really
know
good.
what? It's mainly as well because we re like once you're in AFM, we are backing you to win. If there is literally anything any of us know that we think might help you, and that goes for the most amazing thing about AFM is that goes for all the coaches as well. Like how much people share, and they're like, oh, I learned this on my old mentorship. I'm like, great, share it. That might be knowledge I don't have. There's no like gatekeeping. There's no, if I use this and I don't tell anyone else, then I'll get better. But it's like, this is working for me, you should try it. Or, oh my God, you're struggling with that. I struggle with that too. Try this or whatever. So yeah. Basically, I know this will help people. So people on AFM will have to do it because we want them to win.
Absolutely.
Also, Maureen, what are you doing on the 20th of April?
Oh, well, I'm going to be in Manchester for a fantastic event. I'm
Did you
actually
know I
speaking.
booked our hotel like right on the outskirts, and it's like a quite a big walk over a massive main road?
No, I didn't even look.
Well, I did. So
Oh, thanks. We'll have to bring the walking shoes. Oh.
yeah, we'll hike there in the morning.
Okay, well, that's okay. But I'm looking forward to that as well. Excellent lineup.
Very good lineup. I'm very excited for it. I'm excited for your talk, actually.
Thanks. Yeah, need to write that.
So there's going to be a bit of some of it's going to be like directly towards coaching. For example, things like photo shoot prep, competing, you know, getting people in incredible shape. And then Maureen's going to talk about probably potentially the other end of the spectrum of
Yeah.
fit with food type stuff as well. And then Claire's going to tell us all about pre and postnatal from an actual midwife. What? And then there's a lot on business. Some of the business talks I'm really interested in, but I think it's quite nice that this time there's quite a lot of like coaching application as well as this is how you build your business as well. Because really, in if you don't have if you're not a good coach and you don't have the knowledge to help people and you don't have a good coaching service, you're just pouring water in a bucket with holes in and your retention shit. Like you won't have a business anyway. It doesn't matter how good your lead generation is. If nobody wants to stay, then you've got a big problem.
This, like, yeah, that's actually a good thing. The fact that this event has like a lot of coaching aspects involved as well, because something that came up on an accountability call. Now, I'm not saying this coach is a bad coach. It was just kind of something that was said in passing and just us having a conversation. But it's like when if you don't understand your clients well enough to actually know what their barriers are, it's going to be very hard to talk to them online in your social media. Something that was said was, about clients who are struggling to stick to their calories, and it's just like, just stick to your calories. Like that sentence is a problem. It's like, okay, your job as a coach is to help them figure out why they're not able to stick to their calories. And that's the things that you need to be talking about in your content. It's not a case of just saying, just be in a calorie deficit. Like, that's absolutely useless to people. It's like, if they were able to do that, they'd have done it already. They wouldn't need to come to you. It's like, you need to understand why they're not able to stick to their calorie deficit. And that's
Yeah, it's
what you
like I was
need
saying, just get more clients.
to
Like, what's the problem? Like, understand why people don't get it. It's just actually just basic math. Have more clients, charge more money, then your business will be successful. Like, what's the problem? That's what you sound like when you say to clients, just eat less, just be in a deficit. Problem solved.
Just stick to the calorie deficit, brah.
Bruh.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that was
Okay.
excellent. Thank you very much for that.
You're very welcome, and thank you as well. It actually distracted me from being sick for 40 minutes.
Gosh, we spoke a lot, didn't we? I thought this was just going to be a quickie.
Oh, well, you do like to talk.
Okay.
Oh, I'm not
Here's,
too bad
there
myself.
we go. Right, okay. If you, I'm going to put in the show notes the link to Manchester. By the way, there is actually only, I think, about 16 spaces left when we're talking right now. That isn't just made up, that we are literally capped because the number of space in the room. So if you do want to come, please come. We would love to see you. You will get a ton. I can guarantee you that you will leave a better coach with a better business and tons of actionable things. And that's all. Oh,
And
and
if
I'll
you want
put
to kind of,
30 for 30 link as well. And yeah.
yeah,
Then.
we love selling.
Oh yeah, love it. If you want to sign up, figure out a way to do it. Right. Bye.